Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
That song doesn't get old. I don't know,
maybe in a long time it will, but it's not now. So we're going to keep singing it. Man, that's a good song. I don't know about you, and obviously, time goes on. We know that. Time goes on every year, but I just cannot believe we're here already. We're here already. I feel like just yesterday, it was our welcome Sunday. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
That's what they say. That's what the people say. We've gone through many of the names of God, and I love that people are coming up to us throughout the time and say, I liked this one, or what do you think about this name? And like, I'm like, oh, we're talking about it. And that's what we should be doing, right? The community coming together and talking about what we're doing on a Sunday and then going out into the streets and going out into our families and communities outside of the church and talking about it. We've gone through the book of James, and now in this wonderful season of Thanksgiving, before moving into the much anticipated Advent season. A few weeks ago, we focused on giving thanks for thanks to God, for He is good, His faithful love endures forever, right? Thank you, Pawar family, for reading that presentation. And last week, we're so grateful to Cadet Chan. I think right now he's helping put pies on a table out there, but for preaching on 1 Thessalonians 5, encouraging us to rejoice always, pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And I think I laughed more in that sermon than I have in a while. I thought he did a great job. And this morning, we're going to wrap up this time of thanksgiving and gratitude by actually focusing on the end of Hebrews 12. We're speaking about our hope being in the unshakable kingdom of God. We're going to hear that word quite a bit over the next few moments, unshakable. And the result is gratitude. We all grow up hearing about Hebrews 12. The author applies his whirlwind tour of the hall of faith found in the Old Testament. What should believers do today with the faithful witness of God's people in ancient times? Well, we should lay aside sin. The cloud of witnesses surrounds God's people as hallmarks of godly devotion and faith. Christians today stand in a long line of faithful witnesses whose lives summon the church to exemplify that same level of faithful endurance. Then the middle part of Hebrews 12, we touch on as well. These verses remind Christians of the need for God's grace coupled with active, godly obedience. Christians must discipline themselves by putting sin to death. Strengthening feeble arms and weak knees means that Christians must banish all fear from their hearts and minds. Verses 14 through 16 together put multiple priorities that Christians must abide by to walk this life of faith that we talk about. But then we get to verse 18. And in my opinion, I could be wrong, and I have been wrong before. Did you know that? We don't touch on this part as much in Hebrews 12, but I want you to read with me. It's a few verses here, but I want you to hear it. Verses 18 through 24, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. And it says this: You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. Because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Amen. So the author begins this section with his normal style of comparing the Old and the New Testament. When Israel came to Sinai, smoke engulfed the mountain, fearsome lightning lit up the sky, and thunder rolled across the plains. Reminds me when I lived in Oklahoma for 10 years. Thunder rolling across the plains. God descended on the mountain, and the people rightly feared for their lives. The author of Hebrews says, however, that this mountain is not what the new covenant believers approach. Believers in Christ approach the grace of Mount Zion, the dwelling place of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the place of the origin of the full outpouring and display of God's amazing grace. The people of God identify not with the mountain where God gave the law, but with the mountain where God fulfilled the law. The full reality of the glories the author details in these verses, however, have not yet been realized. Believers live in what theologians call the already but not yet. Already but not yet. Christ has already established his kingdom and the new covenant. Hallelujah for that. Yet the world still awaits the fullness of that day when the heavenly Jerusalem will descend, and believers gathered together with a multitude of angels at the marriage supper of the Lamb. These verses are true now, but not yet fully. All God's people know that Christ secured the victory as he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And, you know, a little bit later, as we always do, I'm going to give that call, that time of commitment. But all God's people know that Christ secured the victory as he died on the cross. If you don't feel like you're one of those people, well, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes into your life this morning so that afterward you can say, yeah, I know that. I know that Christ died for me. And believe me, he can do that for you today. And that victory awaits the full culmination of Jesus' second coming, when the people of God will not walk by faith, but by sight. Only the blood of Jesus will grant admittance into that heavenly gathering. The blood Abel spilled represents the blood of the old covenant. It couldn't fully save Abel. Only the blood of Christ and faith in his work will save. Amen. So, how do we respond to all of this? Because it's a lot in there. These next few verses help answer this. 25 through 27 of Hebrews 12. 25 through 27. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So I say, don't refuse him who is speaking. Don't refuse him. The God who once thundered from Sinai still speaks. But now he speaks graciously through his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet the danger remains the same. The danger remains the same to refuse his voice. See to it. Anyone ever had a boss or a parent that said, hey, see to it that that gets done. See to it. I think if someone in authority says to you, see to it, you need to do it. You need to get it done. You need to do what is being asked. I think I just saw Troy shaking his hand, shaking his head. See to it that you clean your room, Troy. Yeah. See, you're welcome, Heather. All right. This is a command calling for continual close attention and for continual dependence on the Holy Spirit to obey, right? When God speaks, we need to pay attention. When God speaks, we need to pay attention. We must constantly guard against dullness of hearing or spiritual drift. This is actually the fifth warning in Hebrews. The previous warnings have built an intensity, but now the writer contrasts those who refuse God's voice on earth and they suffered temporary judgment. But he compares that with those who might now refuse his voice from heaven. And friends, that's not temporary. That's eternal. That's eternal, leaving them an infinitely greater risk. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know Jesus? Some of you may be tempted now to refuse God who has and is speaking to you. You may ask, Captain, why should I believe God? Why should I believe what you're saying? Why should I believe the Bible? The Word of God, the Bible, right here, it's full of prophecies spoken by God so many years ago, which God fulfilled hundreds and even thousands of years later. One example is that 700 years before Christ, God told a prophet Micah to prophesy that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. So we have a historical document written by a real man, Micah. It was written 700 years before Christ, and God told him to write that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And 700 years later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And there's dozens of prophecies just like that throughout the Bible, which God has fulfilled. Hallelujah. See, God doesn't ask us to believe without evidence. Doesn't ask us to believe without evidence. God calls us to believe because of evidence. And the author summons his audience to not reject the gospel, but to receive it by faith. These verses promise an impending judgment. The author quotes from the prophet Haggai as proof that a day will come when the world will give way to the glory of God and his day of judgment. None will escape that day. All will stand at the judgment and will either be found as those who had faith in Christ or those who rejected the Savior. What does our 11th doctrine say? We believe in the immortality of the soul, in the resurrection of the body, in the general judgment at the end of the world, but it gets better, in the eternal happiness of the righteous, and in the endless punishment of the wicked. For us soldiers, members of the Salvation Army Church Corps out there, we've signed that. That's what we believe. And for many of you who attended the soldiership classes recently, 15 of you, which is incredible. I hope you have it memorized. Just joking. The test comes later. But seriously, this is what we believe. Friends, do not refuse him who is speaking to you this morning. Embrace this truth that God loves you, Embrace the truth that God cares for you. And if you know the Lord, are you grateful for this gift of an unshakable kingdom? Are you grateful for this gift? The author reminds believers of their sure and unshakable inheritance in these final verses of Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Josh read it for us. Thank you, Josh. 28 and 29, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Through faith in Jesus Christ, and when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have received this kingdom. You will receive this kingdom that cannot be shaken. We must be grateful for this. But it's easy to lose that sense of gratefulness because of kids, bills, work, pressures, depression, anxiety. I could go on and on and on. I know we speak about this a lot during this time of year, but gratitude isn't always about feeling happy or having an emotional reaction. I know of many testimonies and stories of people sitting in this room right now that if you truly answered, you say, no, I'm not happy right now because of circumstances. And I get it. I get it. But that's not what gratitude is about. It's a posture. Gratitude is a posture and a discipline that comes from our identity being strongly held by Jesus. It comes from our unshakable foundation of God Himself and the kingdom He is building. I think it's funny, every time I say kingdom, I go up on my toes. That just makes me, you know. And the kingdom, oh, I did it again. You see? And the kingdom He is building. And this kingdom we speak of is different. This kingdom is different. Albert Barnes said, amidst all the revolutions on earth, and in spite of all the attempts which have been made to destroy it, this kingdom is as vigorous and stable as it ever was. The past has shown that there is no power of earth or hell that can destroy it, and that in the midst of all revolutions, this kingdom still survives. Its great principles and laws will endure on earth to the end of time and will be made permanent in heaven. This is the only kingdom in which we can be certain that there will be no revolution, the only empire which is destined never to fail. St. Paul's Chapel, I bet many of you have been there before if you've visited Manhattan, located just opposite the World Trade Center, served as a sanctuary after the attacks on September 11th. It became a symbol of perseverance and hope, and later served as a memorial site to honor those lives lost in the tragedy. It's built in 1766, and it's known as the Little Chapel That Stood. St. Paul's is the oldest church in Manhattan. Amazingly, September 11th wasn't the first time St. Paul's was protected from disaster. It survived the great fire of New York during the American Revolution. More than any church building, though, listen to this, more than any church building, Christ has instituted an unshakable kingdom that gives us hope and promotes thanksgiving no matter our circumstances. We must be practicing and nurturing thanksgiving in our hearts every day. We must take time to nurture gratefulness. Ponder the kingdom as described in verses 22 through 24. Ask the Lord to help you see again that you don't deserve this, what God has done through Christ and what you have. Think about how at the end of history, when God's power shakes the heavens and earth, and people are running to the rocks to hide from God's wrath, you will not be shaken because you are part of this kingdom that cannot be moved. This final command in Hebrews 12 reminds us to worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, the author of Hebrews reminds believers of their sure and unshakable inheritance. The God of the church is the same God who lives as a consuming fire. This should evoke reverence, evoke awe in the people of God, and embolden them in a steadfast faith. At the same time, God's holiness will burn away the chaff. Those who failed to place their faith in Christ and rejected the gospel of God. Let me tell you, every earthly security we rely on right now can be shaken. Think of it. Think of anything right now, and it can and will be shaken. However, God wants us to stop trusting the short-lived defenses of this world and wholeheartedly devote our lives to Him. He's completely unwaverable. He's immovable, and His is the only kingdom that will endure. When we build our lives on the foundation of His love, of His truth and faithfulness, He will hold us steadfast, and every fear will fade. Every fear. Coming to a close here, but I'll close with a quote. Bob Deffenbaugh, he writes, "Since the kingdom for which we hope is an unshakable one," I told you you'd hear that a lot this morning. "Since the kingdom for which we hope is an unshakable one, then we should not be shaken from the grace which alone will bring us there. Should we give thanks for this grace? Absolutely. But it is grace that I believe our author has primarily in view. It is on the basis of this grace that we will be able to worship God in both devotion and awe. And that awe is due in part to the fact that our God is indeed the same God who revealed Himself and His law to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. He is indeed a devouring fire. And we should be humbled by the fact that it was grace that brought about the sprinkling of our Lord's blood so that we could draw near to God in worship." I'm going to ask Nick to start playing. I'm going to sing a song that it possibly is new to some of you. It's been around for a long time, actually. But only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we enter. The song reminds us of just that. Only by grace can we enter into the presence of our Lord. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The mercy seat here, the altar, is here for you today, as it always is. Whenever this building is unlocked, it's here. And when it's not unlocked, and if you need it, call me, text me. I was about to say beat me. Don't beat me. Call me, text me, and we'll unlock this building. But this is here for you. Be encouraged today that as a Christian, you are part of an unmovable, firm foundation that no earthly circumstance can shake. Practice gratitude. Meditate on the life of Christ as faithful and good, and on His promise that He goes to prepare a place for you in His kingdom. And if you don't consider yourself a Christian today, I want you to be encouraged too. Be encouraged because, well, you're here or you're listening. There's still time. But that time that I talk of that's still here is now. That time is right now, literally now. Don't wait till this afternoon. Don't wait till tomorrow. We don't know what the Lord brings tomorrow. But what I know is that you're here today and that Jesus is ready for you. He's ready for you. Come this morning. Seek first His kingdom we are speaking of, the kingdom of the everlasting God we serve. Let's sing this song. Only by grace can we enter. Here we go.
by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor.
But what is it?
But by the blood of the Lamb.
Into your presence.
Into your presence you call us. You call us to come
into your presence.
Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come.
And now by your grace.
Now by your grace we come.
Lord, if you mark our transgressions.
Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand?
Amen for that, right? Thanks to your grace.
Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Sing that again, Lord, if you mark.
Lord, if you mark your transgressions, who would stand?
Thanks to your grace.
Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Sing, only by grace.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb.
Into your presence
you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace.
Heavenly Father, that is the only way we enter. Through grace, Father, we enter through you. Father, hallelujah to not having to go through somebody else to get to you. Father, we have direct access. And if that's not enough to be thankful for, I don't know what is. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for us humans. If it was by our endeavor, well, we'd be dead. Father, one day we will leave this earth. But because we enter by grace through you, death is nothing. Death is nothing. Because we're with you for eternity, Father. Father, be with those in the room that don't know you today. Bless them. Continue to speak to them. Send people their way. And Father, bless those who do know you. May we be those people to go to others, Father. Father, we love you. And it's in your name we pray today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.